heart to serve this capacity. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. You know, I started working over 52 years ago. I started working when I was in high school, and I was 16. And at that time, there was such thing as Dole Cannery. I don't know if you guys remember that. And I was a pastor. You have trimmer. Thank you. You must be my age. Praise God. Thank you. I don't feel that old. Thank you. We had the trimmers, the packers, with the Janakas. You know, we had those. And I worked there for 3 years. Then after that, I worked at Diner's Drive-In, and I served people. Then after work, a shoe store. And I just started to work and work and work to make money to really survive. Not to thrive, survive. And then I started to work in the hospital, in the medical field, and so forth. But when I met Jesus, and I fell in love with him and his word and salvation, I have very laboring hands. And I look at it now, it's all wrinkled and it's rough and tough because I wasn't afraid to labor. Then one day in prayer, the Lord says to me, your hands are more than laboring. Your hands are going to be called to pray. And I said, oh, okay, now how do you do that? Because all I know is how to talk story with you. I don't know enough of you. And we as people cannot forget to go to him like a child. Like we've got it all together. I don't have it all together. I need his word. I need guidance. I need counsel of people to surround me, the right people. So I said, God, could you teach me more of you and less of myself? Because I need to talk to you because I'm hurting in my world. And I was young then. So anyway, in 2007, there was someone that came to our church and ministered, and he spoke about five-finger prayer as being part of our lives. And I said, ever since then, I could never tell God what I'm going to pray for today because I've always had more than enough prayer to pray for. It's so important that we understand the power of prayer. You know, I'm going to take us to the book of Psalms 8:3-8, and I believe they have it on screen. If not, I'm going to read it out to you. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, where mankind, that you are mindful of them, human beings, that you care for them, you have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with the glory of honor. And you made them rulers over the works of the hands, and you put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. I'm going to go on to 9. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Do you know what that means? That God has given us all authority. Well, with authority comes responsibility. So in prayer, we have authority. In prayer, we don't just say words. We say, wait, I mean this, God. So I'm going to fight this way, God. That's why I need the word, dear God. So all this time as I was working and laboring, my hands were so used, you know, and I look at these hands today and I said, these are praying hands. And so today I just wanted to minister to you about your five fingers, which is on your hand. And the beautiful part about this, no one can say, I have nothing to pray about. People at church would say, I don't know what to pray about. I said, give me your hands. Give me your hands. And they would. I said, I'm going to teach you something. And in a matter of minutes, when I start casting vision, they started to get hold of prayer. Today, I'd like to impart this to you on the five fingers of prayer. Now, because God has already declared how valuable we are to him, and we can be set free from feelings of worthlessness, he's given us this tremendous authority. And I want us all to show me your hands. Show me your hands. Show me your hands. At least one hand. Thank you. And I just prayed earlier. I believe one of the young men here. You know, I swear, Maui, you guys don't grow old. You still look the same every time I come to see you. I don't know what it is, but it must be the Spirit of God. And these young men all look the same. But remember one of them quoted 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing, rejoice always. What is the will of God? God is going to teach us today how responsible we must be and how authoritative we must be in our prayer. And I would like to bring this as a biblical foundation, which is prayer. prayer without ceasing. You push until something happens. You keep praying. You don't wait. You keep pushing in. You keep praying in, because I tell you, it works. It truly works. Now let's work with our thumb. May I see your thumb, please? And guess what? The thumb is what? Closest to your heart. You take your five fingers, and your thumb is closest to your heart. It's the nearest to your heart. So the thumb represents your family. It presents your family, the people nearest to you, your children, your grandchildren, your in-laws, your friends, people that are really dear to you. The thumb is always closest to you. It's the shortest but the most powerful one. Yes, no, the thumb. And it's important that we pray for our children. And I love what Pastor said at worship. Children. It's the next generation and the next generation to come. Now, I have a picture of my family. The first picture is my children. Four boys and one girl. Pretty much a single mom. The second picture is my grandchildren. Oh, we skipped the picture. Let me show you this. I started off with five kids. Oh, I started to pray and pray. Then they got married. That's the other picture, which is their wives. Then my prayers came, more prayers. I said, oh, my God. So I started praying every morning. I pray for everyone by name. Then I have my grandchildren. That's 12 of them. So I have 21 in my family every morning on my knees praying for everyone. That's my responsibility. God gave me five beautiful children. They married five spouses. They gave me 12 grandchildren. As a mother, always a mother, to the day I die, I'm going to be a praying mother. You're going to be a praying grandmother or father or sister or brother, because they're the closest thing to your heart. This is important. We forget to pray for our family sometimes. We pray for everybody else, but our family is hurting. This is important that we understand that we go before the throne of God and start praying. So everyone, I name them. I pray for each one of them. I pray the hedge of protection around them. I pray they make the right choices. I keep praying and praying and praying. Before you know it, 15 minutes go by. That's only my first finger. I didn't even get to my second. But you know what it does? It keeps me on my knees. It keeps me before the throne of God saying, I can't do this. You gave me 5, then you gave me 10, now you gave me 22. But he's going to give you what you're capable of doing. We have no excuse for even one. It is not so much how many people, it's so much how much you can depend on him, that he will bring the breakthrough no matter how many kids you have or grandkids. I even pray for the in-laws. Because one of them have cancer. The other one is not doing well. And they say, Mom, could you pray for my mother-in-law, my father-in-law? I said, I will pray with you. And we will pray together. Because they know they don't dump prayer on me. Mom, can you pray for me? Pray for that person. And then they go off their merry way. No, you pray with me. That's how it works. When two more gathered in his name, what does the Lord say? He shows up. He shows up. So when we pray together and we come together in agreement and we quote scripture together, most of the time, great things happen. Well, today I wanted to share a little bit about praying for family. And I want you to welcome my granddaughter, Callie Omo. This is my second son's daughter. Now, this came off suddenly because I always share with my family and our intercessor, please pray for me. I'm coming to Mom. I'm going to pray. And in the background, she yells out, you going to Maui? I said, yes, I'm going to Maui. She goes, I have a story to tell. I said, Callie, that's not how it works. You know, we have to pray to God, and how are you gonna come into my message? She goes, Grandma, just send me your message, and I'm going to talk to God, and he's going to make it work. I said, only God. That's, here you go. Are you hearing me? She prayed. She prayed. It's all good. So I said, all right. So I prayed. I said, God, what do I do? He said, pay the ticket. So I paid the ticket. Of course, the parents didn't have to pay. I paid the ticket. But I said, you know what? Tell her I'm going to send her with me, and we'll see what God does within the 24 hours. So we were on a plane. I said, you know, Callie, Grandma's going to talk about family. And there's a story in your short 13 years of life God has done something in you. So I'm going to kind of dialogue here and just ask you some questions. And I want you to hear from my younger generation that grew up into 13 with prayer in mind. Hold on. That baby, no, I love it when I hear that. Even when I have prayer, I know it's not the message, Pastor, forgive me. But when we are in intercessory, and they bring their babies and their children, I let them go. Because God's in the atmosphere. And guess what? God speaks his language. And he speaks God's language. I never shut kids down. That's how they learn. My children learned. They were always around me. They didn't like to be with me. They tired of being with me. I had to be snapped. But guess what? They caught it. Not everything's taught. It's caught. So anyway, when she was younger, my Cavett is my rascal of all my sons. He started talking about prayer, and his wife, who is now worshiping at the main campus and at Proside, they would pray, and they would pray for her when she was young. And I said, Callie, what do you think about prayer? I'm talking to her at her level now, not my level. What do you think about prayer?
Well, I was put into a household of prayer, so when I was younger, I didn't know what it meant because I was still very not aware at that age. So I didn't know how it would affect me mentally and physically and what the purpose was it for me. So, you know, like as I got older, I started to get more like aware of how prayer can affect us and how it can heal us in many ways. So,
yeah. The thing is this, when we were speaking in heavenly language, quote out scripture, and I remember when they were young, because they're already around tutu all the time. And when you're on tutu, I'm always speaking in tongues. They tease me. They make up the tongues and they talk, you know, like Toyota, Toyota and bubblegum, bubblegum. You know, they make up. But you know what? They speak in tongues. I tell them, keep it up. You watch what God's going to zap you. And he sure does. They crying. They don't know what hit them. And I said, oh, that's the Holy Spirit. And they sure ain't Toyota. You know what I'm saying? God has his way of doing his thing. But then as she grew older, she had a crisis. She had a really hard case, and she had a problem with her health. And I want to just share that.
Okay. When I was about maybe 6 years old, I got, like, diagnosed with, like, eczema. It's, like, really bad where your skin gets so infected you can't stop scratching it. And it just got to the point where I had to get bandages. I had to, like, bathe in like Clorox, and I had to like get bleach my skin. It was like really bad. I didn't know what to do. So I thought that like my eczema would like define me as a person, because I don't know what could heal me, and I didn't know like what could possibly like affect me, and I thought it was going to define me as a person. So I was very worried.
Yeah, she was worried, and then the mom and dad would call me and said, Mom, would you please pray with us? Because I could hear her crying. Then I would go over the house, and then she would bleed through the gauze. I said, God, your name. It was not only healing her, but let her glorify your name. So as time went on, I mean, she's still being taken care of, but she's way better now. And she realized how prayer made a difference in her life, so much so that she started to see prayer beyond herself. And I want you to share that story. And this is part of my prayer. Whatever you're going through right now, give your pain away. Give it away so God can take care of you as you take care of others. I always said that. When you're going through pain and suffering, surrender, trust in him, and start praying for somebody else who's worse off. Pray for somebody else. God will take care of you. Just trust him. What happened, Callie?
So I have a group of friends from dance, and they didn't know Christ as well as me. So, you know, when I was in a dark place, I wanted someone to pray for me. So I feel like I could give that to other people who weren't in my, like, who are very in, like, a dark place. So I prayed for them so then they could come to church, and I invited them to church. And as we were going to church more and more, I noticed a big change in, like, they want to, like, be committed in Christ more, and they were more like, I want to read the Bible, I want to do a devotion. So I just noticed a really big change in them. Yeah.
And now, this is her four friends. And four of them come to our church, but two of them, their entire family now is part of Proside Church. That's why, parents, you pray until something happens, but not the way you see it. the way you read the Bible and the way you follow and obey him and let the Holy Spirit guide you, because my prayer was not only to heal her, but to use her. And he has used her. Now she has to do one-to-one, all the basic steps to friends as this. And these are her friends, and they're not afraid to raise their hand and dance and have that fun. Before, they thought we were a weird church. They thought we was a cult. Well, because they don't know God yet. But now they come, and their families are here because of one person. What would you share? How would you like to share with the family about prayer?
Prayer is strong and prayer works, and I would definitely pray like every time.
Thanks, Cal. I love you. I know. You know, we mustn't forget that. I don't ever forget that I'm going home one day to be with the Father. But do you know I've been praying that God in my family, could there be one intercessor? Could there be one, maybe apostle, maybe one teacher, one equipper, one evangelist? Sometimes we pray too small. We need to pray big prayers. Or, can my son be the next NFL football player? You know, we want God's will, God's way, and God's timing. Pray big prayers. He's a limitless God. Nothing's impossible. But I did pray for my children, my grandchildren, when I go home, that you carry on the mantle of prayer. So when she told me that story, I said, is she the one, God? Is she the one that I need to train in my family? Sometimes we don't even think what's in front of us, that God is creating in front of us, and it's right in front of us where we're too busy looking outside of our house. What has God put in front of us? Or at our working place? Or at everything that we do? Give me discernment, God. And through the power of prayer, God reveals, that's the one. That's the one. And that's why I knew God said, you're going to train her where you go, wherever you're going to train her. Because she's doing through pain and suffering, and she's still praying, but now she's praying for her friends who are suffering. It never stops, and it never will. And this is only the thumb. Let's get to this finger. This is the pointing finger. It's rude to point, but could I have you all point to Pastor John? The pointing finger is the teaching finger, is the instructing finger. Is the pastors and the preachers and the teachers and the equippers that equip and train you to release you to your destiny. You must and continuously pray for our pastors. You know, around the church, I have this habit of walking around when I see Pastor Billy or Pastor Norman or one of the pastors. I always go like, oh, yeah. I catch myself. I say, oh, don't do that. What I'm telling myself, don't forget to pray for him. Don't forget to pray for him. Don't forget to pray for him. I'm telling myself, when my pointing finger says, I'm pointing to that pastor because I'm going to lift him up in prayer. Pastors and all the pastors in the church, in every given church, needs prayer. They cannot do it alone. They cannot. I cannot. I'm humbly thankful that I have prayer warriors all around me, and we're praying for all our pastors, even for this church, even for our branches, even for our plants. We're not just Pearlside Church for Pearlside Church. We're a Pearlside Church globally. Maui and a couple of other sites, all what's to come, West Coast, wherever God has called us, we're continuously praying beyond the rock. This is important. And then Pastor John, I remember Pastor John, your dad is the founder and teacher of this church. Pastor Eddie discipled Pastor Norman, who's now the founder of our church and who's now is an apostolic leader, a teacher. And Pastor Norman now disciples Pastor Billy, who's my senior pastor. And Pastor Eddie's son is your senior pastor. Do you see the ripple effect of prayer? It doesn't just happen. People think, oh, just because she's a pastor's granddaughter, she's supposed to behave like that. No, it doesn't. There's spiritual warfare always happening to prevent us from doing God's perfect will. Always. When you take a step forward spiritually and praying spiritually, the enemy will come against you. He do not want you to advance the kingdom. He does not want you to prosper. He does not want you to heal. That's why when she needed healing, I had to fast and pray and get on my knees and said, no, Satan, you're not taking her down or any of my grandchildren. Now, let me just share this personally. The enemy will not get, the only way he's going to get to me is to my family. because he can't get me any other place. I know what got to be done. But when you come too close to home, and by the grace of God and the authority given to me, it's war. It's prayer and fasting. It's getting on my knees, and I will battle, but not by myself. With the Holy Spirit that's inside me is greater in me than he that is in the world. That's the kind of fight you must have for your family and for your leadership. Pray for wisdom. Pray for guidance. Pray for discernment. It's not easy leading a church, but it's so worth it. Because it is God's perfect will for us to do this for the God. So that's why whoever is leading, even at work, your boss, even if you don't like your boss, you pray for him. Because that pointing finger, he said, God, that's my boss. I'm going to lift him up to you, dear God, and I want to trust you with his outcome. We pray for everyone. Now let's go to the third finger. And that's the tallest of all five fingers. And that finger is the finger that we need most now. And that's government. We know what's coming up in November. We know this presidency that we ought to vote for. And it's so important we understand we don't stop praying. We need God to intervene on our behalf. I'm not talking about Democrats or Republicans. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm saying, God, we need help. Have mercy on us, God. And we must pray for the government because Timothy says that. In 1 Timothy 2:1-2, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and all those in authority. Because I wrote down this, we must pray because these people shape our nation and guide our public opinions. They do. So we can't say, I'm not going to vote. It's your responsibility to vote. And it's your responsibility to study who you're voting for. Because many a times, we vote on emotions. Somebody else said this, or they going this, or, no, did you hear God say that? Do your homework. Are they following biblical principles? Is this what God wants for us? Because it's going to affect my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren in the future. This is so important that we believers of Jesus Christ who is saved and is full of the Spirit, we are responsible. And the first place of foundation is prayer. Then you act on prayer. Amen? And then now we'll go to our smallest finger. The one least. Oh, did I miss a finger? I did. The fourth finger. The ring finger. Especially for those that are married. No, they say this piano teacher, and I could be wrong to other piano player teachers, they say this is the weakest finger of all four fingers. And the weakest of the fingers are for people that are lost. The poor, the needy, the hungry, the lonely, and hear me out, and the forgotten. We forget. And one of the areas we forget is missions. And I want you to show a picture of this young man. His name is Eric. I sponsored him 5 years ago. He lives in Africa. And the reason why I sponsored him, and I have his picture on my wall, every month he writes to me, there's a translator, and he tells me the pain and suffering that his family and his children are going through in the mission field. And our Americans are there serving Africa. He's a teacher. I keep in communication, and do you know why I sponsored him? To remind me not to forget about the poor, the homeless. I have reminders on my wall that I must pray for Eric. And he says, can you help my family? My neighbor just got killed, or they came, the soldiers killed my community. I'm hearing him, and I'm praying for them. All right? Now, I went to South Korea, and I'm going to call her Mrs. Chow, because I can't give you her real name. And she helped over 100 North Koreans escape from North Korea to China and brought them to South Korea. And I sat with her, and I love sitting with her because we don't say a word, and all we do is cry. She's an intercessor. Spirit, we got spirit. We look at each other, we just cry. We don't need to say one word. But I met her again. She sat down, and it's true. In South Korea, 73% of the young adults don't care about North Korea. They don't care about their generation. They just want to live. So she wept and she cried, could you please pray for a younger generation in South Korea? And I said, yes, Mrs. Cha, we will. Now, she's a missionary. And she sat down there on the chair and she said, could you pray for me because I'm tired. And she's got wounds to prove what she's gone through, the barbed wire. She saw children get killed in front of her. And as they're escaping, how the husband got shot, but she got the wife. She's telling me all these stories. And she sat on this chair and she said, Pastor, could you please pray for me? I'm tired and I'm weary right now. I said, okay, so our team came. We laid hands and we prayed for her. 2 days later, she texted me. She said, thank you. I needed prayer because I'm going for one more. That didn't stop her at her. She's older than I am. That didn't stop her. But the fire of God came out of her again. She needed prayer. People need our prayer. Rather be missions. Rather be look around your neighborhood. Look around your neighbors. Pray for them. They need prayer. See, you may not be the answer. God has the answer. But he's going to use other people to answer your prayer. Make sense? And then the fifth one, which is the smallest one. And that finger is very important because that small finger is you. It's you. It's all you. This little finger is the smallest of all, which is where we should be placing ourselves in relationship with God. In Luke 9:48, the least should be the greatest among you. By the time you've done all this, family, leadership, government, the lost, and it comes to you, you pretty much can see it's going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Because there's a lot of other people that need prayer. And when we take this little finger, we take it to God and say, God, like Pastor Zach said, is there something that burdened you? And at this given time, I want us to think, is that little finger, which is you, if you have a burden, and if you could just take again a couple of seconds and say, God, this is my burden. Could you put it on your finger today? I'm just going to give you 10 seconds and call it out as it is because we're going to take this to the heavens. What is it that you're going through? What is it that you're challenging? What is it that this little finger is about you, that God sees all things and he wants you to know that he notices you? What is that prayer? That little finger. What we just did is pray for people groups, family, leaders, government, loss, and yourself. It is important that we understand that God's hand is upon us. His hand is upon us. His hand is in everything. 1,265 prayer scriptures, I think it has a lot to do with his hand, what God's hand does. But when you take these hands, God's going to take those prayers. So if you could just extend your hand out in closing. Today. And every bit of the finger has a person or people group. Father, you see these hands. And today, we lift them up to you. In prayer. In your book of Revelation, you said, in 5:8, you said, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Father, these are our prayers today. I pray, dear God, that every one of us who has placed a name or person on our fingers become the hand of God. And we lift it up to you like incense in a bowl today, that you would take it from us. And let your will, your way, and your timing be about you, that will give you the glory. You the glory, Lord. Because every prayer, every whisper, every whimper, every cry is heard in the heavens. Today we thank you that we get to do this. We get to learn this and we get to practice this because of who you are. May we never forget how important this is. And when this happens, dear God, you will reveal yourself in due season because of a faithful prayer. I thank you and I bless you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Pastor John.
How many of you are encouraged this morning to pray more? You know, when you get around Pastor Camille, it's just the impartation of wanting to pray more. And how many of you received that this morning? There is an impartation of that spirit of prayer. One of the things, and we didn't share this, but she's one that when she prays, God answers. And there's an authority that is on her life. And where does that authority come from? It comes from practicing prayer and then seeing God answer those prayers. So there's a confidence that grows, and then it's like a flywheel. So the more that you pray, the more you see God's answers, the more that he answers, the more confidence you have, and then the more you pray. And so every time I hear Auntie Camille share, Pastor Camille share, it makes me want to pray more. And she's been on the news of somebody that's prayed for, somebody who is dead and raised them from the dead. And she shared that story before. How many of you want God to use you to be his hands to see miracles happen, as we sang this morning, that we want to see more miracles? Anybody here? If you're here this morning, you're not here by accident. God has called you here. And there's a scripture that says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come. And I just want to give an opportunity that if you're here for the first time and you have not received Christ into your heart, you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, there's a reason why you're here this morning. And prayer, the power of prayer comes only when we have a connection to the Father through Jesus Christ. And so everything that she shared this morning of God flowing through us through the power of prayer comes first and foremost through a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want to give you that opportunity this morning. If you'd close your eyes and bow your heads this morning, and you don't have a relationship with Christ, and you want a relationship with Christ, you've heard of what God can do through you, not just in your life, but generationally, that you'd leave a legacy of righteousness and an impact that's greater than just your generation, and that many, many years from now, you would see an impact. You could look back and see what God has done through your prayers and through your legacy. And if you're a young person here and you haven't even started that journey, you can begin that journey now. God will give you eyes to see that. So if you want that, if you want Christ to come into your heart and you've never asked him into your heart this morning, I want to pray for you this morning. Would you raise your hand? And we want to pray for you. You've never received the Lord into your heart and you want to receive him this morning, just raise your hand and we want to pray for you. Anyone here? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Anyone else that wants to receive the Lord this morning? Okay, let's pray. Let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you that you died for me, that you came to the cross 2,000 years ago, and you lived a perfect life, and you loved me enough to give your life for me on the cross. I want to repent this morning from everything the Bible calls sin. And I ask you to forgive my sin and to come into my heart. Use me to pray your prayers, to see your kingdom come and your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. I surrender my life to you in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Can we give a hand to the Lord? If you receive the Lord for the first time, there's a gift, a Bible in the lobby that you can take. And we want to pray for you, so fill out the card there. We're going to take communion. Could somebody give me a communion cup? Oh, thank you. We do this every week as a sacrament that he's given to us. If you just lift up the bread this morning. God, we just thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken for us, that through your body, God, that we have healing. Lord, you've placed every single one of us in this community, not just to receive your healing, but to be ambassadors of that healing to those around us. Just in your heart, think of one person that God has placed in your life that needs healing. Healing of a broken relationship, healing of depression, healing of physical ailments. God, right now, we just pray that you would drop into every one of our hearts a person that you've placed for us to reach that you love. Would you just lift up the bread in representation of his healing that he's given to us? God, we thank you, Lord, for this bread that represents the body that was broken for us, that through this broken body that you've given us healing, not just healing for us, but healing for others. And God, we receive this morning, and we pray healing over the loved ones in our lives, God, that you would restore to them what the enemy has taken. God, that you would restore hope, that you would restore healing. God, that you would restore broken relationships in Jesus' name. You can go ahead and take the bread this morning. And God, we thank you for your blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sin. And Lord, that this represents the passion that you have for us, the length that you have gone to show us your love. And so, God, we partake with thanksgiving the cup this morning. In Jesus' name, you can go ahead and take the cup. And just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, as I freely receive your forgiveness, I ask your grace, and I freely give forgiveness to others. God, I repent for all offense that I have kept of people who have offended me, and I release them in Jesus' name. Help me to be your hands in my family, in my community, in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Are we going to do worship this morning? Okay, yeah, let's have the worship team come up. We're going to close in a song. I'm going to do announcements as the worship team comes up. Two announcements. One, we have a creative team that we're forming for stage design and all kinds of stuff. How many of you are creative here? That God has given you the gift of creativity. Anyone? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're creative. Okay, God's given you that gift to give to others. So if you raise your hand, you're being pulled into the creative team. You can fill out a card and say, I want to give that gift to the body of Christ, and I want to be creative in the design of everything here. So we're forming a creative team. The other thing is we have baptism. If you said that prayer for the first time or you haven't gotten